It was a calm Friday night in the East, but it was the wild, wild West in the Greater Thumb Conference. You're listening to The Strong Side on Sports Radio 102.1. I'm your host, Clark Ramsey, and joining me today in studio is the sports editor of the Huron Daily Tribune, Paul P. Adams. Good to have you back tonight, sir.
Hey, I'm glad to be back. Last week I missed the show. I was, for good reasons, though. I was down at Comerica Park watching the Tigers end their season, but I'm happy to be back here talking high school football. We are in the home stretch now.
And we're also joined in tonight, live in studio with Troy Shelkey, the head coach of the HeartReach football program. How are you doing tonight, sir?
Very good. Thanks, Clark.
We're glad to have you in here. Tonight's edition of The Strong Side is presented by WIW Sports and is brought to you in part by McDonald's Food and Family Center in Bannex and Thumb Sailor, the talk of the thumb. Over the course of the next 60 minutes, we will take an in-depth look at week number 7 of MHSAA football regular season, as well as formulate what the postseason might look like. It's all coming up on Sports Radio 102.1 as you're listening to The Strong Side.
What's a football game without a great tailgate party? McDonald's Food and Family Center has all the supplies you need to make your fall game party a huge success. Whether you want the fixings to make your own great tailgate party snacks or you'd like ready-to-eat goodies to grab and go from the deli counter, McDonald's Food and Family Center will help make your pigskin pig out the talk of the parking lot. And of course, they're there 7 days a week for all your grocery, floral, and convenience needs. You'll be pleasantly surprised when you see how many shopping needs you can fulfill in one stop at friendly and helpful McDonald's Food and Family Center in the Northgate Shopping Center, Bad Axe.
Tonight's presentation of WLAW Sports to The Strong Side is being powered by the blazing speed of Thumb Sailor's 4G LTE network, the talk of the thumb, now the iPhone 6 and 6 Plus. Clark Ramsey and Paul Adams here on The Strong Side being visited by the head coach of the Harbor Beach football program, Troy Shelkey, tonight. Before we get into the Harbor Beach Ugly game, which was the WLAW Sports game of the week this week, let's take a look at the area scoreboard, first starting in 8-man football. Deckerville and North Huron played, and it was all Deckerville the entire game. Final score in that one was 62-0.
Yeah, I kind of called that one on the pregame show Friday night. Deckerville was in a real bad mood after losing to Lawrence, and North Huron, not quite their year this year. Deckerville, a real good bounce-back win for them.
And CPS and Peck, it was the same type of story. Peck advances to 7-0 and takes out CPS 59-0.
Now, this win sets up a meeting between the two undefeated teams in the NCTL. Peck will be at Deckerville next week, winner take all for the NCTL championship. Should also tell us where Peck stands, because Peck, up until this point, has played a very weak schedule, the defending state champions. We don't know exactly how good they are. We're going to find out on Friday night. Should be a good one. Here in Daily Tribune, we'll be at that game. Seth Stapleton will have coverage.
And Caseville and New Haven Merritt played Friday night under the lights in Caseville. And Caseville comes home with an SEC Pac-12 score, 74-32 over New Haven Merritt, and Caseville secures their third victory of the season.
Yeah, absolutely. Not only do they secure their third victory of the season, if you check the MHSA website, Caseville is now the 14th team in the playoffs. Eight player takes 16 teams, so the Eagles are in the playoffs. They now control their own destiny. They are at Owen Gage this week. This is a game that I will be at. A win for Caseville this week at Owen Gage will almost ensure them a spot in the playoffs. And I mean, 3 years into the program, and we are talking about Caseville in the playoffs. That's a good thing.
Playoffs? Wow, already. let's play it.
Playoffs? Don't talk about playoffs. You kidding me? Playoffs? I just hope we can win a game.
And a team that has had winning ways all the way up to this point, Owen Gage, coming into this game 6-0, taking on Kingston. But Kingston gives Owen Gage their first loss of the season, 64-34. Is this the difference between the NCTL and the Mid-Michigan 8-Man League?
No doubt about it. The NCTL that's produced every 8-player state champion to date, that's where you want to play. I think that's still where some of the best 8-player football is played in this state. Give Owen Gage credit. They win the games that they're supposed to win, but this was a giant step in competition for them, and they saw what it takes. They have a couple of more non-conference games to play before they get into the playoffs, so hopefully, you know, they've seen what it takes now and can use make the proper adjustments here in the final 2 weeks.
And now in 11-man football, of course, the game of the week on WLAW Sports was Harbor Beach and Ubly. Harbor Beach takes home that victory 41-6. We'll get to that in just a second. And the other only close game in the East was Brown City and Sandusky. Sandusky edges out with a 7-point victory, 35-28. We'll get to that in probably about half hour here. And Marlette in Memphis, Marlette blasts Memphis. It was a one-man show in Connor Thomas, 62-20 in that one. Marlette put up 48 points in the first half. USA falls with their sixth loss of the season to Vassar. Vassar now at 4-3. Vassar 48, USA 26 in Vassar. Cass City takes out Reese in the West. Cass City now 4-3 on the season. Actually, 5-3 if you count in the Carroll forfeit in week 9. Cass City 18, Reese 6. Reese now at 1-6 on the season. And the game everyone was talking about, we'll get to this in about 10 minutes, Lakers and Bad Axe. Lakers squeaks went out in the last minutes of the game, 32 after trailing the entire game to Bad Axe's 30.
Yeah, I just want to add, I know we're going to talk about this game and we'll go in depth, but it's so rare for a hyped game to live up to the hype, and that's what this game did. And, you know, I talked to Seth Stapleton, who covered this game for us. He's covered many a Lakers games. He's never seen that many people at Lakers. Bad Axe traveled well. Everybody in Lakers was there. It was homecoming, and the game lived up to the hype. Those are the kind of games you just dream about covering. You don't get many, and this one really lived up to it.
It was the glory days of the Green Machine over on the west side, taking back to the 1980s there, and George McClellan and crew. Right now, though, we're joined by Troy Shelkey of the Harbor Beach football program, and it was quite easy contest for you on Friday as you took out the Ubly Bearcats 41-6. And in fact, Harbor Beach, you came out to 41 straight points before Ubly found the end zone. What were your general thoughts on this one, Troy?
Yeah, I thought early on our defense really played well. We were concerned about Ubly's fullback trap and then their off-tackle trap also, and then their QB running. And our defense started really well and I think gave us good field position the first two times we had the ball. First time we were unsuccessful, our drive stalled. We had a penalty, I think a botched snap. And so started a little bit slow offensively. Defense played well early on, and then the offense got going as we got going.
Looking here, rushing the ball for 253 yards off of 30 carries overall as a team. And leading the pack, of course, Austin Seltz, seven carries for 151 yards and two rushing touchdowns. I'll take that any day of the week.
Yeah, we probably got to get that kid the ball a little bit more. And one of these weeks we will. I keep telling him that. He has a real great yards per carry average, and same thing with receiving too. So one of these weeks he's going to carry the ball 20 times.
And Troy, can you talk about those two scoring runs for Celtic? The first one, I thought he made just a tremendous juke move. Poor Ubly kid went one way, Celtic went the other. And then the second touchdown, Celtic absolutely just plowed over an Ubly kid. So he showed in two runs that he's shifty, he's got speed, and he has power.
Yeah, really got to give credit, before we talk about Austin, to the guys upstairs in the offensive line. After the first series, offensive line came over, and they're giving me the same feedback as upstairs. Nubly was really set up to stop the outside run, fearing, I think, Celtic outside too, and Josh a little bit. So we ran the inside trap, and that was the first one where Celtic made a couple nifty moves and got into the end zone. Then the last one, he showed his power, and he's worked hard in the weight room. And he ran over a guy to get in the end zone. He could do that.
One thing you talked about, Harbor Beach obviously lost a player for the season in Jonas Herman. Went both ways. Is the team starting to mesh on both lines, the offensive and defensively, to fill that gap?
Yeah, even though our record's really good, we faced a lot of adversity this year. Kind of starting with Jonas there being hurt. 2 weeks ago against Brown City, Noah Kraft had sprained his ankle, and he was out, and then Evan Oswald, his replacement, got hurt. So, we've faced a little bit of adversity, and the kids have done well with that. But, yeah, Jonas is the toughest one, ACL injury on just kind of a fluke play. And he was one of the best defensive linemen in the area, and he was one of our top six offensive linemen. So guys have had to adapt to that, and Jonas has done a good job. He just had his surgery the other day, and when he's not having surgery, he's at practice blowing the whistle and helping to coach the guys.
Also rushing the ball for Harbor Beach last on Friday was Josh Shelkey, the quarterback, your son, 9 carries, 52 yards, and 2 touchdowns. He also threw the ball for 1-for-3, no interceptions for 14 yards, and a score into the hands of Vollmering on that scoring drive. One interesting thing, what I find scary first off, is having your quarterback run the ball. especially in a physical league and when you go along in the playoff run, how much does that scare you, or how much are you lenient to not go that route?
Yeah, I'm concerned about all of our players, their health. I mean, we only have 20 guys with Jonas, 19, so that's a concern with everybody. You know, nowadays in our offense and with our depth, our quarterback is a runner, just like any running back. And then, you know, they play a prominent role usually for us on defense. Sometimes they even play linebacker. Josh is a little out of the fray at safety. So I'm concerned, but just like everyone else, you know, big thing is we hit a couple passes, one for a two-point conversion, one for a touchdown. So one of these games we're going to have to throw the ball 20 times too, and I keep telling Josh that.
And not only does Josh do all that on offense, you got him back there returning kicks and punts, and he returned another punt for you. That's his second this year.
Yeah, exactly.
For a touchdown. So he's got just great field vision as a punt returner too.
Yeah, and that punt, you know, punt thing's risky. We have Seltz and Josh back there. By the way, Seltz threw a great block on Josh's punt return the other night. So that is risky, but the whole idea for our offense is to get these guys out in space, and the punt return and the kick return, you can't get any more spacey than that. So we're taking a risk there, but we feel it's worth the risk, and it's paid off a couple times.
One thing I'd like to point out here, in time of possession in the first half, at halftime, it was 20-0 Harbor Beach. Although the time of possession showed Ubley with the ball 18 minutes and 41 seconds compared to Harbor Beach's 5 minutes and 19 seconds. Second half, it was 12 minutes, basically split right down the middle. But Harbor Beach's scoring drives on the night here. Minute 56, 9 seconds, minute 14, minute 40, minute 23. And it took 6 plays, 1 play, 4 plays, 4 plays, and 3 plays, plus a 36-yard punt return for a touchdown. Are you afraid your defense is almost out there for too long just because your offense is scoring so fast?
Yeah, that's a concern. I mean, we will score as quick as we want to. We want to get off the field a little bit quicker. But some of these teams have been, you know, slowing the pace down and controlling the ball well. And, you know, I think we're getting better and better at defending the run, but be a real big challenge this week. So, you know, we don't mind scoring quickly at all. We think we have the capability to control the ball if we need to. Big thing for us, though, we need to continue to have the 4 and 5 yard gains. The other night, we had a fumbled snap, one where we fumbled an exchange, a penalty called back, a big play that would have been close to a touchdown. If we can almost eliminate those things, that would be huge, because a 5 yard gain for us sets up the next play, where the next play could be a big play. Whereas if we're in, you know, third and 20 or third and 15, a lot more difficult to overcome. So hopefully we can clean up some of those things.
One thing that was a little bit concerning for Harbor Beach's defense was we see, like, Roman Welton for Ubley with 16 carries, 89 yards, and a touchdown. Derek Brown, 11 carries, 41 yards, and Anthony Sweeney, 7 carries for 25 yards. And everything was in between the ends, right down in your face. Now, of course, Devin Lemanski, middle linebacker, was out for that game. Chris Keyes stepped up big time with 10-plus tackles and tackles for losses and an interception and everything else. But do you feel that there needs to be improvement there as the season progresses here and postseason play?
Yeah, I think we need to continue to get do a good job against the run. You know, looking back at the film, it wasn't as bad as I thought, perhaps in person. You know, the big thing is when we get against teams like Ubley and Sandusky, we have to win first down. You know, if you give up 4, 5, 6 yards on first down, you've lost that down. If you can hold them on first down, then you have a chance. And then field position is huge too. But, you know, I thought, ultimately, our defense stepped up and did a great job. Like I say, they gave us great field position, and Ubley scored at the end, and that was partially my fault. You know, we went for it on fourth down, and a guy from Ubley, their nose guard, made a great play and tackled our back. Probably should have punted there and made Ubley go a little bit further.
Troy, I just want to touch on your offense a little bit. You know, I've seen you a few times this year, and I just get the feeling, and I think Clark does too, there's more to this offense that we're not seeing. Is that the case? I mean, are you guys kind of holding some stuff back that we haven't seen yet?
Yeah, we're not necessarily holding it back, but we do have things that we work on that we haven't done yet. So, you know, hopefully some of those things can help us. I think the big thing is the passing game. You know, I think sooner or later here we're going to need that passing game. You know, been throwing 2, 3, 4 times a game. You know, one
it
of these
was
games
there early,
10
though.
Or 20. Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I think we've kind of concentrated on getting our running game going, and our running game has been good for us. Teams against the spread, curiously enough, have changed up the way they play us. They've been playing a little bit more for the pass. You know, Ubley kind of had that 3-2 defense, and so that gave us some run opportunities inside. So one of these times, someone's going to stack the line against the spread, and or the tee, and then we'll have to break out that passing game.
Basically, it just comes down if they're going to dare you to run, you're more than happy to run that.
Yeah, exactly. And that's been a big point of emphasis. We thought, you know, last year, highly explosive offensive team, you know, with Eli and had great receivers. We thought maybe our line wasn't as good last year as they are this year. So we really want to have a good running game, especially when we come up against a team like an Ishvin or whoever that is going to be out there, where we can pound the ball. Because basically last year in our last game, Ishvin was daring us to run the ball, and we couldn't. And so we were one-dimensional. We had to pass, and they took the deep pass away from us too. So that has been a point of emphasis to get the running game going.
Well, I'd like to congratulate you. You are now at least sharing a portion of the Greater Thumb Conference East Division title, and you can clinch it outright this week as you travel to Marlette, who is one game back right now at 3-1 and 5-2 overall. The game's at Marlette. Take us through that one.
Yeah, it seems like every year it comes down to us and Marlette here, at least the last couple of years. You know, last year, big game, certainly, and this year, too. They have the top running back in the area, and so Coach Rubel's already talked about stopping him, and so he's in the forefront. And then, you know, I think our offense has to be ready to score some points because, you know, Marlette scored 60 last week, and every other week they seem like they've scored 50. So real challenge for our defense, and then, I think our offense being able to take advantage of our opportunities and play clean will help us too.
How do you plan on stopping Connor Thomas? He scored 19 touchdowns in the past 5 weeks. He had 5 touchdowns this week against Memphis. It just seems like every time every single scoring drive involves the name Connor Thomas.
Yeah, we've been hearing about him all year, and we've seen him a little bit on film. You know, I think the big thing is discipline. You know, we have to find out where he's at because they move him all around. And then we have to be real disciplined because he'll run inside and runs a lot outside and, you know, runs from the quarterback position and understand plays a little slot. So we have to find him, know where he's at, and then be real disciplined. And then, you know, we want to give him enough attention, but we also want to be solid against the other guys so other people don't go wild against us.
Well, I'd like to thank you for coming in here at 717 on Sports Radio 102.1 on the Strong Side with Troy Shelkey, the head coach of the Harbor Beach football program. Now, in your 18th season as
yes.
a head coach.
And yes.
It's hard to believe Harbor Beach has only had 2 head coaches in the past 40 years. This is kind of getting Penn State numbers here.
Yeah, was Mr. Dillon 32 or 33? 32 or 33 or something.
Somewhere
like
in there.
So, I mean, we're getting into the 50s.
Wow.
So that's pretty good. That stability, I think, helps.
Well, we'd like to thank you for coming in here tonight. And when we return, we'll break down the Bad Axe Lakers game on Sports Radio 102.1 on The Strong Side.
What's a football game without a great tailgate party? McDonald's Food and Family Center has all the supplies you need to make your fall game party a huge success. Whether you want the fixings to make your own great tailgate party snacks or you'd like ready-to-eat goodies to grab and go from the deli counter, McDonald's Food and Family Center will help make your pigskin pig out the talk of the parking lot. And of course, they're there 7 days a week for all your grocery, floral, and convenience needs. You'll be pleasantly surprised when you see how many shopping needs you can fulfill in one stop at friendly and helpful McDonald's Food and Family Center in the Northgate Shopping Center, Bad Axe.
This is Len Jensen, Thumb Cellular Sales Executive for Tuscola and Huron Counties.
And this is Tanya Obersky, Sales Executive for Sanilac and Huron County.
Have you finally had enough with your big, national, impersonal cellular company? And are you ready to switch to your local cellular provider with the clearest signal, nationwide service with no roaming charges, 4G LTE service, and the customer service that you deserve? Call Tanya Obersky or myself, Len Jensen, today.
Are you already with Thumb Cellular but need to add a phone to your account? Want to switch to the lightning speed of the 4G LTE service? Call us today and we can come to you. If you live in Sanilac or Huron County, call me, Tanya Obersky, at 989-553-5282.
If you live in Tuscola or Huron County, call me, Len Jensen, at 989-550-4666.
For your best deal. Call us and make an appointment today.
The iPhone 6 and iPhone 6 Plus are now available at Thumb Cellular.
Yeah.
Listen to WLEW Sports in more ways than ever before. Tune into Sports Radio 102.1. Download the Cruise 102 app on your Apple or Android device. Or listen live and worldwide at WLEWSports.com. Clark Ramsey and Paul Adams here on The Strong Side, your Sunday at 7 program. We're talking all things high school football on Sports Radio 102.1. We just had Troy Schalke in studio with us discussing the game of the week on WLEW Sports, where it was Harbor Beach 41, Ubley 6. Now we take a look at the game of the year, if not the century here. Lakers 32, Bad Axe 30. Let's take you through this one before we can describe anything here. In the first quarter, Bad Axe comes out and scores first on a Tommy Morneau 2-yard run. The two-point conversion is good. It's 8-0 Bad Axe. We head to the second quarter. Lakers responds. Quarterback Dustin Cady, 2-yard run, two-point conversion failed. It's 8-6, Bad Axe hanging on by 2 points. But Bad Axe responds with a Tommy Morneau 25-yard pass to Mitch Doerr. The two-point conversion failed. Makes it 14-6, an 8-point lead for Bad Axe at halftime. Third quarter now, Lakers comes out and fires first. Lakers, Dustin Cady, a 57-yard run. The two-point conversion failed, so Bad Axe still leads by 2, 14-12 over the Lakers. Bad Axe responds yet again, Tommy Morneau on a run, and he makes it 22-12 with a two-point conversion good, Bad Axe leading now by 10. Before the third quarter concludes, though, Dustin Cady, with a 45-yard run of his own, the two-point conversion failed, and it's back to a 4-point game, Bad Axe 22, Lakers 18, heading to the last 12 minutes. With 10-12 left in the fourth quarter, Bad Axe has the Tommy Morneau run yet again. Two-point conversion is good. It makes it 30-18, Bad Axe leading. Unfortunately, Bad Axe would not score the remainder of the way. With 8:45 left in the fourth, Lakers' Dustin Cady, a 5-yard run, two-point conversion is good. 30-26, Bad Axe by 4. Lakers then recovers a Bad Axe fumble at midfield. Mauricio Diaz-Reyes jumped on that one to give the ball back to Lakers. And 4th and 8, Lakers then facing a 4th and 8 situation, trailing by 4 points. Dustin Cady, though, connects with Seth Bowles for a 27-yard pass into double coverage, which sets up a Dustin Cady 12-yard run with 4:56 left for the touchdown. The two-point conversion failed, so Lakers leads by 32-30 by 2 points with 4:56 left. 2:06 left in the fourth, Bad Axe facing a 4th down, could not convert, and gives the ball back to Lakers, and the rest is history. Lakers 32, Bad Axe 30.
What a game. I mean, you got to catch your breath after all that. What I noticed, quick thought, is up until the fourth quarter, Bad Axe was playing the perfect game, and this is what I said they had to do in order to win this game. Limit your turnovers, limit your penalties. What'd they do? They committed a turnover. Midway through the fourth, Diaz-Reyes jumps on that fumble. Lakers turns that into points and eventually takes the lead. And from what I understand, there was another penalty that really hurt Bad Axe when they turned it over on downs there in the fourth quarter that set them back. But up until that point, Bad Axe was playing its game and had Lakers on its heels and really had the opportunity to win this game.
Tommy Morneau had 172 yards and 3 touchdowns on the night. He also threw for a touchdown in 71 yards, bringing in Mitch Doerr that one reception for the touchdown. Lakers' Dustin Cady, 25 carries, 305 yards, and 5 rushing touchdowns. Mauricio Diaz-Reyes, 9 carries, 47 yards. And Lakers has clinched at least a share of the GTC West Division title, and they can win it outright this week as they travel to Vassar.
Lakers is at Reese.
Excuse me.
Vassar's coming to Bad Axe.
You're right. You're absolutely right on that. I had the I didn't update that. I apologize. Sunday mishap there. But really, when it comes down to, I mean, Lakers trailed for all but 4 minutes and 56 seconds of this game.
And what they do? They took advantage of the one turnover they were given, and they turned it into points.
I was happy to see Bad Axe is converting again. And on two-point conversions, they did convert on a few of them. But when it comes down to it, you can look Bad Axe and look at any play on this, especially that fumble, and say what could have been different that they could have pulled this one out.
Maybe you could say that, but I think as a whole, I don't know if Bad Axe was capable of playing much better than what we saw Friday night. This was almost perfect. They were right there. They did everything they had to do except for the turnover and a late penalty. And for a team that's really learning its identity and learning how to win, learning how to play with the lead. I'm not going to hold that penalty against Bad X. I, you know, in a game this big, turnovers are going to happen. But, man, Bad X, I think even in a loss, even in this loss, took it another step towards being a legitimate team that can make the playoffs. I look for them to rebound against Vassar this weekend. You know, they got Vassar and Ubley coming up. I still believe that they can rebound, win those two games to get in the playoffs. And they took huge steps. They impressed me again in the way that they played this game.
And it kind of reminds me of when Mark D'Antonio first came to Michigan State. It was a losing team, horrible team. John L. Smith, I don't know how he did worse than Brady Hoke and Rich Rodriguez combined. But
that's tough.
And throw in Dave Brandon, too, the trio of those. And somehow John L. Smith went and climbed Mount Kilimanjaro instead. We won't get into that. But then Mark D'Antonio started winning some big games. But then they weren't winning the big games. And they were short by a touchdown here, short by a point here or there. And then they took a couple more years, and they got over that hump, and now they're winning Rose Bowls.
Right.
Do you see the same with Bad X here?
I hope so. And it comes down to changing the culture. They have a chance for the first winning season, or this is the most wins that they've had since 2004. So all these kids that have known that are on this current Bad X team is losing. They lose every single year. Everybody schedules Bad X for their homecoming because they know that's going to be a win. That's what it was in the past. But Coach Manetti came in, and he installed his way of coaching. He brought Kelly Durr in as his offensive coordinator. They completely went to a different offense. It took time, but now you're seeing that time and that hard work all pay off, and they're turning the corner in Bad X. But it took time, and it took kids to believe. But most importantly, it takes wins. If you're putting all that effort in and you're still losing, it's really, really discouraging. But then they beat Sandusky, and they beat Cass City, and then they start to get this momentum going, and then you start believing. Then you don't hope to win, you expect to win. Bad X went into this game not hoping to win or keep it close. They expected to win, and they darn near pulled it off.
It should be interesting the rest of the way out here with two remaining games for Bad X. They need two more wins to get into the playoffs. What's your outlook on that?
I hope they come back and they're hungry against Vassar. I just hope this doesn't go the wrong way and stop all the momentum that Bad X built. They still have momentum on their side. There's so many positive things that you can grab from this game against Lakers. This is a good Lakers team. This is a team that's going to go on to win the West, go to make the playoffs again. Hopefully Bad X comes back home, puts this game out of their mind, take the positives from this game and use that against Vassar. I truly believe that they can beat Vassar, and they're going to have their hands full against Vassar and against Ubley. Those are two teams that are, they're decent teams. They're going to put up points, and they're going to be hungry to keep Bad X out of the playoffs, because I don't think either one of those teams are going to the playoffs. So if they can spoil somebody else's playoff run, that they'd like to do that. But I believe that Bad X is going to return home and regroup and beat Vassar, and then take their chances in week 9 against Ubley.
I've talked about it before in past weeks, but Lakers' front defensive four almost reminds me at times of almost like what the Detroit Lions look like today, and that's for once a compliment. But
and it starts with that big fella in the middle there, Austin McCabe.
10 tackles against Bad X right in the middle, and then Ian Snyder also on that front line with 9 tackles, and then Brendan Wisner in the secondary, the freshman who's filled in for Dustin Cady in the past, comes in with 9 tackles, and Mauricio Diaz-Reyes with 5 tackles in that key fumble recovery.
And then you put in Terrence Dubes in that defense. It's a formidable defense, which to me makes it even more impressive what Bad X was able to do against that defense. We spent a lot of time talking about Bad X, but we got to talk about Lakers a little bit too. I mean, they had their backs against the wall. I don't know if they took Bad X for granted. I'm sure they didn't, but Bad X came to play, and Bad X could have easily won this game. But you got Dustin Cady. Normally those games, 300-yard games, you see those against the lesser competition, but to do that, 25 carries, 305 yards, 5 touchdowns in a rivalry game in what was essentially the Greater Thumb West Championship game, that's what you look for from a big-time leader. This kid's been banged up this year, too. He didn't play the week before against USA. It's it's really nice when you got a backup quarterback and freshman Brendan Wisner when you really don't miss a beat. But with that said, you know, Dustin Cady comes back as healthy as he could be, and he said, "Hey boys, I'm putting you on my back and I'm taking us to this win," and that's exactly what he did.
And of course, things are looking up for Lakers as the entire program, especially like with freshmen coming up like Brendan Wisner already getting that varsity play, and we're going to see a decent run here from the Lakers in the postseason.
I would think so. You know, they shouldn't have any problems against Reese next week. Reese is Reese. I mean, 1-6. Lakers should go in there and win that game. The game that's really intriguing is the one that you guys are going to be covering in Week 9 when Lakers and Beale City meet in Saginaw Valley State University, because then we're going to see a battle-tested Beale City team who's already went up against Ishpeming, your two-time defending state Division 7 champion, who's in the playoffs every year. Big physical team. Kudos to Lakers for taking this game. Win or lose, they're going to get exposed to what physical playoff football is all about and get no false sense of confidence going into the playoffs, whether they win or lose. So I do believe that taking that game is going to allow them, if they can get out of that healthy, to make a decent run in Division 7.
It was a beautiful night on Friday night for homecoming in Lakers and homecoming in Harbor Beach. And right now it's 53 degrees right now, broadcasting live from the Clark Ramsey Manor here in Harbor Beach. The humidity's at 60%, dew point at 39, visibility's at 6 miles, the barometric pressure is holding steady at 30.11 inches, and southeast winds at 7 miles an hour. Unfortunately, it looks like, though, a weather pattern is moving in, and this weather update on Sports Radio 102.1 is being brought to you by Graf Chevy Buick. You're here today, here to stay, Chevy and Buick dealer in Sandusky for great vehicles, great incentives. Visit Graf Chevy Buick at M46 in Sandusky. Here's meteorologist Paul Janis.
As Tropical Storm Fay pushes off into the open Atlantic, it's going to set up a blocking pattern where high pressure will settle in over the northeast United States and allow for a warm front to kind of settle in right over our neck of the woods. This means we'll have a period of unsettled weather at least right through the middle of this week. Cloudy skies expected for the overnight, 60% chance of showers after midnight. We'll have overnight lows at 45 to 50, a light south-southeasterly breeze at around 5 to 10 miles per hour. For tomorrow, Columbus Day, we'll have a chance of morning showers, probably the driest of the next several days. Chance of precipitation tomorrow morning at 60%, otherwise a mostly cloudy day into the afternoon. Highs in the mid-60s, winds from the south at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow night will be cloudy. We'll have a chance of showers. Lows 55 to 60. Winds from the south-southeast at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Cloudy Tuesday. Chance of showers. High 65 to 70. From WLEW Precision Weather Service, I'm meteorologist Paul Janis.
From the Thumb's premier truck dealer, Graf Chevrolet Buick in Sandusky, here's Keith, Brandon, and Sam.
Hey guys, October is here and that means it's Breast Cancer Awareness Month. It also means it's time again for Graf's fourth annual Drive for the Cure campaign. We're teaming up with McKenzie Health Systems to help subsidize mammograms for the uninsured.
We'll contribute $10 every time you take our test drive challenge. All you have to do is put your pink on and stop in and test drive one of our vehicles. Challenge your friends to do the same thing. It's all for a great cause.
And if you purchase a vehicle this month, we will contribute $100. Stop in now, take a test drive, and get a Drive for the Cure backpack while supplies last.
So put your pink on, take a test drive, and help raise money to stop breast cancer in its tracks. Your support is helping us provide priceless support to those in need in our community.
At Graf Chevrolet Buick in Sandusky, celebrating 100 years of automotive excellence.
Tomato or tomato? Milk or milk? Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious or supercalifragilisticexpialidocious? Is it coupon or coupon? Either way, you now save at thumbnet.net. That's right, local deals and discounts are now on thumbnet.net, like McDonald's Food and Family's weekly deals. Just click on the yellow button called coupon, and start saving today. If you'd like your business's deals or discounts on thumbnet.net, call 989-269-9931. Join in the conversation with WLEW Sports on Twitter. Simply search for at WLEW Sports and click the follow button. Receive in-game updates, stats, even photos from the game. That's at WLEW Sports on Twitter. Clark Ramsey and Paul P. Adams from the Huron Daily Tribune, broadcasting live from the Clark Ramsey Manor in our Eastside campus here in the friendly confines of Harbor Beach, Michigan, on Sports Radio 102.1 735 on your FM dial. We've taken a look at a few of the big games so far, and now let's continue on our trek here through the West as Cass City continues back on their winning ways here. Cass City takes out Reese 18-6, and believe it or not, Reese scored first in this game, but it was all Cass City after that. Jacob Hartman with a 64-yard run to start the scoring of the night made it 6-0 Reese in the first quarter, but then Cass City's Mason Earler responded with a 2-yard run himself, makes it a 6-6 tie heading to the second quarter. Sawyer Cuthrell responds and returns an interception from Reese for 42 yards to put Cass City up 12-6 to entering halftime. No scoring in the third quarter. And in the fourth quarter, Cass City puts on an insurance run. Mason Earl, a 45-yard pass to Sawyer Cuthrell. The two-point conversion failed. Cass City final score 18-6 over Reese.
A lot closer than I thought this score would be. Reese was really, really struggling coming in, and I thought Cass City had a lot of momentum coming off that Vassar win, but a win is a win. You'll take them any way you can get them. And now, if you're Cass City, you got to beat USA. It's as simple as that. You beat USA, you are in the playoffs because you don't got to play in Week 9. Carroll folded its season up, so for the first time since 2006, playoff berth is on the line if Cass City can beat USA. I believe that's going to happen.
And Cass City's had quite an interesting season. They started out at 2-0. But then they dropped three straight games to Harbor Beach, Lakers, and
Bad Axe.
And now suddenly they've ripped off two more victories over Vassar and Reese. So one more game, seeing that week 9 was scheduled with Carroll. And since they just decided to quit, now they only have one more game. And that goes against USA, as USA 1-3 in the West and 1-6 on the season. But it is at USA, which can cause some trouble.
Oh, absolutely. If you think USA is going to roll over and die and just let you into the playoffs, you got another thing coming. Jason Beagle and his crew, that's a proud, proud team over there. I talked to Coach Beagle after their loss to Vassar. You know, they did a lot of positive things against Vassar, but they shot themselves in the foot a couple times, and that ultimately ended up losing the game for them. But, you know, it's a team. This USA team can give you fits. They're physical. They want to control the ball. If you commit turnovers against them, they can turn those into points just pretty easily. So, you know, Cass City, your whole season is coming down to 1 week in order to make the playoffs. But I think in the end, too many weapons, pretty darn good defense for the Red Hawks, and I think they're going to make the playoffs. And anybody that knows Coach Cuthrell, I mean, you always kind of you feel good when Cass City can make the playoffs. He's one of the really good guys in the area, one of the great coaches, great guys to talk to. And, you know, they've been on that cusp so many times, so many 5-4 seasons where just that one game has went wrong. Now they need that one game to go right for them and get over that hump.
Especially with the young crew. I remember talking to him preseason that he really wasn't he said if they wanted to make the playoffs, they'd have to with a young crew. And they are.
And they are. And I think you saw that young crew kind of go through a trial by fire. You know, like you said, you start 2-0, you're feeling pretty good about yourself, and then you got smacked down to earth by Harbor Beach. And it took them a while to recover from that, the Lakers game and then the Bad Axe game. But, you know, credit, they didn't fold up this season. They picked themselves back up, and here they are with a chance to make the playoffs.
And now, of course, Sawyer Cuthrell, 19 carries for 123 yards in this one, and he returned a touchdown, or returned an interception for a touchdown. Drew Loomis, 8 carries, 51 yards, and Mason Earle carried the ball once for 2 yards, and it's resulted in a touchdown, first score of the night. He also was 4-for-11 in passing for 66 yards and a touchdown into the hands of Sawyer Cuthrell. One reception for 42 yards. And then Drew Hare, 2 receptions for 21 yards. For Reese, Jacob Hartman was pretty much the whole team. 31 carries for rushing the ball for 183 yards and a touchdown, and passing the ball 2-for-6, but 2 interceptions for 31 yards.
You know, I haven't gone and seen on MichiganFootball.com when the last time Reese has been this far down, because it's been a long, long, long time.
1991 in that region, I think, was the last time that they are on the verge of going 1-8.
Yeah, you know, I've been at the Tribune for 14 years, and this is the first time I can remember, I think, Reese missing the playoffs. Maybe they missed the playoffs once, but never had a losing season. So uncharted territory for the Rockets. Their fans are just, they're not used to this.
Kansas City 2-2 in the division, 4-3 overall. They travel to USA now, 1-3 and 1-6. Reese 0-4 in the West and 1-6 overall. They host the Lakers at 4-0 and 7-0 on the season. Back to the East now, Sandusky and Brown City in a touchdown difference game here. Sandusky 35, Brown City 28. It was 21-14 Sandusky at the half, but they got the job done here as Sandusky puts 14 points up in the second half as well as Brown City, so that cancels out. And the big name you need to remember for Sandusky here, Chase Tucker, was all over the place. He had four touchdowns on the night for 27 carries and 143 yards. Jacob Lasecki, the quarterback, with the other touchdown, rushing the ball for 8 times for 66 yards. And Joe Stone, 4 carries for 21 yards. Lasecki was 1-for-2 and 1 interception for 20 yards passing the ball. And Potter came in, who also kicks the ball. Potter was 2-for-3 in passing for 49 yards against Brown City. For Brown City, Burgess was all over the place. He was 4-for-10 in passing for 51 yards and 2 touchdowns into the hands of Muxlow and Randolph, 1 apiece. But Burgess also rushed for 15 carries, 67 yards, and 2 touchdowns. And Woods was doing majority of the rushing, 19 carries for 106 yards. Brown City here now sits at 2-5 on the season, but it seems like they have a strong offense, but they can't do anything with it.
Yeah, they could definitely put points up. They put a little bit more points on the board than I thought they would against Sandusky. If you're Sandusky, this is not a pretty win, but it's a good win, and this keeps their playoff hopes alive. They are at Memphis this week. We've already talked about Memphis. They are not a good team. This is another win for Sandusky this week that they should get. And then their playoff hopes are going to come down to week 9. They play K-Pac, who at this point is 1-6 on the season. Now, they do come out of that BWAC. But 1-16, they haven't shown a whole lot. So I think Sandusky is a real sleeper, a real dark horse to make the playoffs. They control their own destiny. So this was a good win. You don't get style points for how you win. All that matters is that W at the end of the score.
Tell that to Michigan this weekend. Sandusky 3-1 in the East and 4-3 on the season. They play at Memphis, who's 0-4 in the division and 1-6 on the season. Brown City now 1-3 and 2-5. They host Ubley with the same record at 1-3.
That should be a really good game, Brown City and Ubley. I know that the record's a couple of 2-5 teams, but when you're trying to pick a winner, like we always do in the Tribune picks, that's going to be a real pick'em game, because Ubley can bring it, and we know Brown City can put up points, so it should be a real entertaining game.
Back to the West now. Vassar and USA met on the gridiron this weekend, and Vassar came out early, and it was 21-14 at halftime. Final score, Vassar 48, USA 26. USA did not start scoring until the second quarter when Aaron Sines went in for a one-yard run, and then Tanner Foley with a one-yard dive as the quarterback went to halftime, trailing by 7 points, 21-14 to Vassar. The third quarter, USA's Ryan Miller-Wise broke open for a 64-yard run. In the fourth quarter, Max Slater jumped in with a 12-yard carry for a score as well. But unfortunately, Vassar kept on tacking on the points. A big third quarter, adding 21 points after 21 in the first half alone, makes Vassar pull away by 22 in this one, 48-26. Mike Pratt, the quarterback, scrambling quarterback for Vassar, 15 carries, 80 yards, and 3 rushing touchdowns. He was 16-for-19 in 1 interception and passing the ball for 277 yards and 3 scores through the air. I mean, when any time you see that many numbers passing the ball as well as scrambling for 3 touchdowns, it's going to be tough sledding.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And, you get 277 yards on only 19 attempts, too. I mean, he wasn't like he chucked the ball up 50 times to get those yards. So really making the most of those attempts. And, as far as USA goes, they showed a lot of fight in this game, but that in the third quarter, it just got away from them, and that was too bad. But that's one thing you know about this USA team. Their record, they're 1-6, but if you think they're just going to roll over and die for you, you got another thing coming. Jason Beagle and his coaching staff always have this team, whatever's left of them. I mean, they've suffered injuries. They've only got about, I think, 4 or 5 guys on the bench, but they're going to give you everything they got.
And believe it or not, USA actually recovered 3 turnovers from Vassar. They had a fumble recovery. Tanner Foley had that. Dominic Guardian had a fumble recovery as well, and Ryan Kane brought in their interception. But yet, when it was all said and done, it was still a 22-point difference. USA now 1-6 overall, hosts Cass City at 4-3 and 2-2 in the division. Vassar 2-2 and 4-3 on the season. hosts Bad Axe at 3-1 and 4-3. I saw Vassar play.
Actually, I think that game's at Bad Axe.
You very well could be correct on that. I have not a clue. Anyway, our final game here before we take a look at the playoffs. No, you're absolutely right. Marlette in Memphis. Actually, I pulled that straight from the Tribune. I'll take a look at that. Marlette in Memphis. Marlette 62, Memphis 20. It was 48-8 at halftime, mostly in part due to Connor Thomas of Marlette. When he finished the night, he had 7 carries. Connor Thomas, 7 carries, 223 yards, and 5 touchdowns rushing the ball.
I do that on PlayStation sometimes.
Well, yeah, anyone could do that. I mean, just push the X button as many times and spin move after swim move after anything, and all of a sudden you're high-stepping into the end zone. But, I mean, you're looking at the game summary here, and it's just all Marlette early. I mean, Memphis got in the end zone once in that first half, and they chipped in 12 more points in the second half. But by that point, the second or third string was in for Marlette, 62-20 final score. McGinnis was 1-for-2 in passing for Marlette for 24 yards. And that one reception into the hands of Connor Thomas. He has 19 touchdowns in 5 weeks here, rushing the ball. And now Marlette hosts Harbor Beach with a Marlette win. They would share the Greater Thumb East title, but with a Harbor Beach win, Harbor Beach would clinch the outright East Division title as well. And Memphis hosts Sandusky at 4-3.
You know, I've seen a lot of, especially over the last few years, I've seen a lot of Marlette teams come in putting up gaudy numbers on everybody else. Harbor Beach comes into town, and we might see a couple touchdowns. And I expect that to be the case this year again, too. Harbor Beach's defense is for real. We talked about it a little bit, maybe a little soft up the middle, but there is absolutely no way Connor Thomas is running for 200 yards against this Harbor Beach defense. This is going to be for real defense. So you want to impress me? Put up 200 yards against Harbor Beach, and I'll give you my Player of the Year vote right now.
Well, and if nothing else, Harbor Beach will be able to outscore Marlette. Memphis rushed for 49 carries, 188 yards, but they also threw for 205 yards against the Marlette defense.
Yeah,
we might actually see Harbor Beach's passing game come into play here.
That's the thing with Marlette. They score points, but if you look at their points against, they give up just about as many as they score. There's not a lot of defense there. And if you're giving up those kind of yards to Memphis, who is dead last in the Greater Thumb East, what are you going to do against an offensive juggernaut against Harbor Beach?
7:47 on your Sports Radio 102.1 dial. And, folks, we are this close to ending the polio disease forever, and now is our chance to change the world. To make sure no child is disabled by polio ever again, join in to speak out and be a part of history. Be a part of Rotary International. Join your local Rotary Club in Seawing, Pigeon, Bad Axe, Sandusky, or Harbor Beach, or check out Rotary.org to see how you can get involved today. When we return, we'll take a look at our projections for the playoffs right after this.
We are this close.
We're this close.
We are this close.
Of all my duty
to making history.
This close to changing the world.
We are this close.
This close.
This close to making sure no child suffers a crippling disease
ever again.
This close.
We are this close to ending polio.
To ending polio.
All we need is you. Is you.
This close.
If we don't act now, we may lose this chance forever. Help Rotary make history at endpolionow.org.
What's a football game without a great tailgate party? McDonald's Food and Family Center has all the supplies you need to make your fall game party a huge success. Whether you want the fixings to make your own great tailgate party snacks or you'd like ready-to-eat goodies to grab and go from the deli counter, McDonald's Food and Family Center will help make your pigskin pig out the talk of the parking lot. And of course, they're there 7 days a week for all your grocery, floral, and convenience needs. You'll be pleasantly surprised when you see how many shopping needs you can fulfill in one stop at friendly and helpful McDonald's Food and Family Center in the Northgate Shopping Center, Bad Axe.
Sports Radio 102.1 on the Strong Side with Clark Ramsey and Paul P. Adams, the sports editor of the Huron Daily Tribune, located out of Bad Axe. Broadcasting from the Clark Ramsey Manor here in Harbor Beach, Michigan, it's time to take a look at the playoffs. It's hard to believe we're already here. We're with 7 weeks behind us, two to go, and before you know it, we're going to be having our special postseason show here on Sports Radio 102.1 to figure out where all the teams are going, where they're going to be, and where the divisions are going to play out.
Well, that song was real appropriate. It's a long way to the top if you want to win a state championship, and that's what we're going to start talking about right now.
A lot of cards need to go in the right direction, and let's take a look first here at Division 6. And according to our projections from snoozetoyou.com, who is extremely accurate, check him out for yourself at snoozetoyou.com. That's snooze, the number two, to you, or snooze two, the number you, then two, and then you.
Easy for you to say.
I can't even spell it right now. Snoozetoyou.com.
Check it out.
Or just check out our Twitter account or anything else, or go to the Facebook page on the Tribune. There, it's all over the place. In Division 6, though, the area team looking to get in Division 6 is the Bad Axe Hatchets. But unfortunately, they're going to have a very rough going of it if these do stand in the way. They're going to be at Millington, according to the projections, through 6 weeks. That is week seven projections are not out yet. But this has stayed true for the most part in this region. Bad Axe at Millington. Now, just so you're aware, Millington is 7-0 in the season. And they had a forfeit against Carroll this week to get that 7 victory. But Millington has beaten Bridgeport 36-8. Frankenmuth 27-13. North Ranch 30-29. And they beat a Canadian college 41-0. And also projected in this district for Bad Axe, regardless, Flint Beecher, although they're better probably at basketball, and then Montrose Hill McCloy. Just so you're aware who Montrose Hill McCloy is, they destroyed Reese as a powerhouse last year, and they lost to Ithaca last year in the state semifinals.
And they took Ithaca to the limit. That was one of Ithaca's toughest games in their four-year run that they've had. Ruling Division 6, Montrose had Ithaca on the ropes, and somehow Ithaca escaped from them.
And in case you're curious, Ithaca has won four straight state champions.
And working on a fifth, they have the nation's longest winning streak, and they're adding to it every single week.
What's your thoughts on Bad Axe here in Division 6?
Well, I don't like their chances. I do believe that they can make it. I think it's important for them to make the playoffs. What you also got to keep in mind when we're looking at these projections, Cass City's going to be in Division 7. They lost a lot of students. So when we talk about Division 7, we got to talk about Cass City, who's not in our current projections. So skip that. Never happened.
Don't even look at that thought.
Yeah, I was thinking a few years ago when Cass City was a lot bigger than they are now. But anyways, as far as what I think about Bad Axe, I would love to see them make the playoffs. I think it's an important step for Bad Axe to make the playoffs and get exposed to this. But boy, this is a tough, tough district and a tough regional with Ithaca looking on the other end of that region.
It's a tough division regardless.
Oh, my goodness gracious. I mean, Division 6, so who is who? You got Jackson Lumen Christi on the other side. You got Monroe, St. Mary Catholic Central. Ithaca, Constantine, and these are all teams that are every year contending for state championships. So
it's those darn Catholics out there.
Ithaca,
you know,
Division 6 is it's a who's who. And what I like about Ithaca, not a lot of people know about Ithaca, it's basically Bad Axe. It's almost the same school size, very similar town. I've been there a few times, but similar size. So it's a public school that has won four straight, looking on five straight. Everybody cheers for Ithaca, unless you're playing against them. But as far as being on the outside looking in, you want to see those public schools win state championships.
Back down to Division 7 here now. Through projections of Week 6, Lakers would fall into Division 7, and they are projecting to be playing Flint Hamity. This is through Week 6. But unfortunately, Flint Hamity lost this week to Byron, 22-36. So now they're 4-3, and they play New Lothrop next week. So they're going to be sitting at 4-4, and more likely they're not going to be making playoffs. But one thing you can think about here, in that same district, Marlette would be playing Burton Atherton, who will probably make the playoffs. And like we said, not in these projections is Cass City, so you can probably replace Flint Hamity with Cass City.
And you can also replace Burton Atherton with Sandusky. All three, Sandusky, Lakers, Cass City, are all within like five students of each other. So if Sandusky does make the playoffs, Cass City does make the playoffs, like I think they will. All of a sudden, this district,
we've got a local district,
it turns into a thumb district, which we would love to see. So the current projections, this is what a difference a week can make. I mean, a week ago, yeah, we're looking at this district like, wow, Flint Hamity, Burton Atherton, all of a sudden put in Sandusky and Cass City, and
Lakers,
it takes on
Cass
a whole
City,
new
Sandusky,
whole new dimension.
Very true. Very true.
Boy, that escalated quickly. I mean, that really got out of hand fast.
And, of course, Lakers would see a fellow GTC team in the first week, but more likely run into a New Lothrop that is strong. It doesn't like the Greater Thumb Conference, most thanks in part to Harbor Beach 2 years ago on that one. Other teams projection Division 7 with Lakers and Marlette include Ishpeming, who knocked out Harbor Reach last year in the state semifinals on their way to a back-to-back state championship, beating Detroit Loyola, who is also projected in D7, Pawamo, Westphalia, and Carson City, Crystal Falls, fall in the same region as Lakers, according to his projections, and then throw in Traverse City, St. Francis, potentially to be in Division 7 as well.
I honestly think that we are heading for a third straight state championship title game between Ishpeming and Detroit Loyola.
I don't see it otherwise.
They are the best two teams in Division 7, and who doesn't want to see that game again?
Wow, they've been close every year.
And you brought up New Lothrop. There's a team I think is in the same boat that Harbor Beach was in last year. I believe that New Lothrop is right on the cut line between Division 7 and Division 8. A few schools, we've already talked about Sandusky and Cass City making it. That's two schools that are bigger than New Lothrop that's going to bump New Lothrop down two spots. There's still a real good chance, I think, we could see New Lothrop in Division 8.
And only time will tell there, of course, that we can catch that on your postseason show coming up in just a short 2 weeks, 14 days away. And now we look at Division 8. Thanks to Harbor Beach losing in roughly about 30 students, they will more than likely be bumped down to Division 8. And through projections of week number 6, thanks to snoozetoyou.com, they have projecting Sterling Heights Parkway Christian against Harbor Beach. That's a mouthful. I hope they change their name by week 1. And then they are showing Bay City All Saints at Fowler. Bay City All Saints more likely not going to be making the playoffs.
Bay City All Saints lost this week. I can't remember to who they lost. So they're already at 4 losses. They're not getting in at 5-4. Their playoff points are not big enough. So already count Bay City All Saints out. We're going to have to put somebody else in. And I think that's the real wild card for Harbor Beach. We're looking. Harbor Beach is on an island in Division 8. There's nobody else in Division 8. Even relatively close.
Well, if you look at the map here, there are two teams, according to these projections, east of I-75 in the entire state, all the way from Detroit to the bridge. There are two teams east of I-75. So, of course, Harbor Beach is an island. They could go west, they could go north, they could go south.
And I would like to see them go north, personally. I think that's still the best route that could put us back in the Superior Dome, which, you know, that'd be a fun trip to make again, maybe.
Well, I'll be up to Marquette this week. I'll take a look for you.
But I think... That's going to be, to me, the biggest intrigue on the selection night is where Harbor Beach goes, because they could go north, they could go south. Because they're on an island all by themselves, there's going to be a lot of factors in some of these 3-3 teams, these 3 lost teams, where they go and how many 5-4 teams make it in.
Well, the one thing I do know is the MHSA does not want Beale City and Harbor Beach to meet up early.
It certainly could happen when you look at, if you take Bay City All Saints out of that district, which we're talking about, it'd be fairly easy to slide Harbor Beach over to that district and have Beale City and Harbor Beach in the same district. Hey, you got to play them eventually. Play them in the districts, play them in the regionals. What does it matter? You're going to have to go through these schools sooner or later. You might as well do it sooner and get it out of the way.
And you never know about the dark arts of the MHSA. I don't even want to get started with that conversation. I'd need another hour.
And I'll tell you what.
Sound like Rush Limbaugh on that one.
You stick New Lothrop in Division 8, and that changes the dynamic of all this map as well. So that's another factor that we got to keep in mind. New Lothrop could slide down to Division 8 and then just change this map completely.
So in a recap here, let's take a look at the current standings across our entire region. Starting out in the Greater Thumb Conference East Division, Harbor Beach has clinched at least a share of the title at 4-0 and 7-0 overall. Sandusky and Marlette are tied at 3-1 apiece in the division. Sandusky at 4-3, Marlette at 5-2. Marlette and Harbor Beach play this week. Brown City and Ubley at 1-3 in the division and 2-5 overall. And then there's Memphis, lowly Memphis, at 0-4 and 1-6 on the season. In the West, Lakers has clinched at least a share of the division title. They can clinch it outright this week with a win at 4-0 right now and 7-0 on the season. Bad Axe at 3-1 in second and 4-3 overall. And then Cass City at 2-2, tied with Vassar at 2-2, 4-3 on the season. Then USA at 1-3 and 1-6. Then Reese at 0-4 and 1-6. This week's games coming up here, we have Lakers at Reese, Vassar at Bad Axe, Cass City at USA, Harbor Beach at Marlette. Then we have Brown City at Ubley, Sandusky at Memphis. In the 8-man football, Peck at Deckerville, Dryden at CPS, Kingston at North Huron, Caseville at Owen Gage, Flint's Michigan School of the Deaf against Illinois School of the Deaf, and then New Haven Merritt at Akron Fairgrove. Paul Adams, final thoughts here on the Strong Side.
We got some really great games, playoff implications, conference championships on the line. This is going to be another great night. I hope this weather that's coming in early this week slides out by Friday so we have a real nice Friday night again.
We'll find out. Of course, Kurt Damrow is back on the air for Thumb Broadcasting and WLEW as they're covering an 8-man game. Caseville at Owen Gage. I, Clark Ramsey, and Dave Hansen, the whole crew, will be back in Week 9 as the Lakers take on Beale City at Saginaw Valley State University Friday night in Week 9. Paul Adams, thanks for joining us. Thanks to Troy Schelke joining us here in the studio, and thanks to all of our listeners out there. As left side or right side, you're listening to The Strong Side on Sports Radio 102.1.